The U.S. men's national team headed into Estadio Azteca, and they got the result they needed. They got a draw, and that means the job is a little bit easier as we head into this game against Panama, but it's still an absolute must-win for the U.S. men's national team. However, Panama is not just going to roll over on us. They absolutely need a result as well. And to find out a little bit more about the Panamanian national team, I have brought in an expert. She is the host of Deportes RPC and Telemetro. She is Nicole Ferguson. She is an absolute Panamanian national team super fan. Nicole, thank you so much for coming on and telling us a little bit more about this Panama national team.
Yeah. Hi, Sam. Hi to everyone. Yeah, I do on field for our national team. It was insane because now we know what happened. And we have yesterday's results. Yesterday was a game that it was a must win for Panama at home. As usual, we have our calculator and we know that you have to win home games and then you could probably draw away games. And that's the formula to get into the World Cup. Now, Panama had, I think, one of its worst collective games last night against Honduras. Obviously against a head coach that knows this very well, Hernan Gomez. It was his first time back into Panama at Estadio Rommel Fernandez during a qualification game. So we kind of complicated ourselves because going into these three final games, our math was probably winning against Honduras, which is last place, and they have no possibilities to get to Qatar. And probably draw against the U.S. and draw against Canada or even lose. But with yesterday's results, for us, it was very amazing. We were probably expecting the U.S. to tie in Mexico. And that's a great result for the U.S. I think it's like four consecutive times that you don't lose actually against the mm-hmm. Mexican team, which is a great run for the U.S. But we weren't really expecting Canada to suffer that way against Costa Rica. I think we all kind of thought that Canada needing only 1 point to secure a World Cup spot was going to go into Costa Rica, win, go back to Canada and celebrate on Sunday. You know, we're in the World Cup and then come to Panama already qualified. So everything kind of changes. I was telling you, Sam, before we started that this practically to the last game, depending on what happens on Sunday.
Well, Panama was in the 2018 World Cup. Big result for Panama. What does being in the World Cup mean for Panama?
Tricky situation that we went in. Kind of what's coming down right now.
Very similar, yeah.
When we went into the last game against Costa Rica, we weren't trying to get a playoff spot. We were out practically. We didn't have a World Cup spot secured or not even a playoff one. And then strange results happen. You know, the U.S. losing against eliminated Trinidad and Tobago was something that nobody expected. And we went to the World Cup directly. For us, it was an insane night. I remember being there that night and having my cameraman. He asked me like 10 times. He's like, but are we in? I was like, yes, we're in. But are you sure we're not going to play? I was like, no, we're in. Because mathematically, we never actually thought to be in a World Cup. For us as a country, it's more than amazing. We had never lived something like that. It was grand. I don't know if you saw the celebrations. I mean, the whole streets of Panama were closed. The president says like free day the next day, day off for everyone. And it was insane. It was really insane and something completely unexpected. Probably that's why we expected these last three FIFA dates to be a bit less complicated. We kind of thought that we had, you know, we've been there, we're a bit more mature, we know how to manage times, and, you know, such is soccer.
Well, that 2018 Panama team had some great names, guys like, let's see, Blas Perez, Jaime Pinedo, Luis Tejada, Felipe Baloy, Gabriel Gomez. A lot of these guys aren't in the squad anymore. A lot of these guys retired mm-hmm. after the World Cup. So it was a big turnover for Panama in this World Cup cycle. What was the expectation after losing a lot of those guys and having to bring in a lot of new players in? Have players grown into those places and replaced those guys? How has Panama fared with just a lot of turnover after that 2018 World Cup? football might be over, but MLS is coming back and Champions League and European soccer are in full swing. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% off your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code BELIEVE to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage, from sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play all your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I think we weren't actually expecting to be at the doors of a possible playoff berth or a World Cup spot, because we actually lost our backbone, if I could say that, because we lose our best goalkeeper that we've had in our country, Jaime Pinedo. And then we lose Felipe Baloy and Roman Torres, which were our center backs that were, you know, 100 games.
Yeah.
And were the backbone for so many World Cup processes. And then in the middle, our go-to guy had always been Gabriel Gomez. He was that person that balanced out the team, that, you know, gave it, we say in Spanish, que impone el ritmo, which kind of means that he manages the times, you know, on field. And then we lose our two highest goal scorers of our country, Blas Perez and Matador Tejada. So yes, as to a certain point, I think that we never imagined that with new guys this quickly they would adapt to this new system and adapt to, you know, using our national jersey, which is a big thing, you know, for Latin American countries. It's not the same like club as, you know, wearing your jersey. I think that many players actually have filled those spots. In the case of Roman Torres and Felipe Baloy, we have Andres Andrade, who plays in Arminia Bielefeld of Germany, and Fidel Escobar. And I think that they have occupied those spots perfectly. Luis Mejia, which is our goalkeeper, has also filled in Jaime Pinedo's boots very well. There was this kind of, it was controversial last World Cup process under Bolillo Gomez, because Mejia had always been playing in Uruguay. And for us, it was kind of amazing that he never got called and he was never part of the process. He wasn't even like the second or third goalkeeper. And he was always under Jaime Pinedo in international experience mainly. With Aníbal Godoy, who plays in MLS in Nashville, we have Adalberto Carrasquilla, who kind of has occupied that spot for Gabriel Gomez, and also player of MLS. He's in Houston Dynamo. And I actually do think that they have occupied very well those spots. I think that maybe during these final games, they are so young that we haven't been able to manage anxiety. We haven't been able to manage that anxiety of having to find that goal. Like, we're good when we're winning, but when, you know, when you get scored, we kind of lose our focus on field. And that's what happened yesterday. I think that comes from veteran players that give, you know, the other young players a little bit of calm on field.
Yeah, some losing a lot of legendary players will do that to you. And I got to say, I mean, there's certain players that I think about that just give me nightmares. And Blas Perez will always be one of those players. He seems to always score against the United States. And I'm quite happy that he's retired at this point.
Blas is your Landon Donovan.
Oh, my God. Maybe so. So in the last matchup, the U.S. went down to Panama and we lost 1-0 in a really tough game, and Panama made it very difficult down there in Estadio Ramón Fernández. Playing away in CONCACAF for the U.S. is just a legendary thing. People talk about how difficult it is, the climate, how the fans are just so intense. What is it like in a home game in Panama, and what do you guys try to do to get every advantage that you can?
You know, I've been asked several times, why doesn't Panama play like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or at 2, like Honduras has done also. Yeah. For us, it's not even that good because it's too humid, it's too hot, and our players suffer, your players suffer, and it's not good. So playing at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock games is actually pretty good for Panama also. And it's good for the away team. I think that Rommel Fernández, one of the main characteristics is it's very humid. Just basic characteristics. Have you been to Panama?
I have been to the Panama airport.
Okay, well, Panama is super humid. Like, imagine, like, Florida. But like,
I live in Louisiana. It's very
20
humid
times
all the time.
Worse. Yeah. 20 times worse. And then at the Estadio Rommel Fernández, people tend to chant all along. And then fans are practically are very close. So then that makes it more difficult. On that game in against the US here, I was kind of actually surprised that Greg Berhalter went out with a practically MLS team to play Panama, and he left all your European names. And I it gives me the impression that he was a bit I don't know the word in English, confiado. It's like you're
looking past the team. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of got that feeling going out with not your best, because your best players were there. They mm-hmm. were not there. Well, Gio Reyna was the only one that had been
injured
for a while, but your best players didn't go on field. I'm in seven changes compared to your first game. So I think kind of there that we were lucky that the U.S. kind of went down to Panama not thinking that it would be such a tough game.
And you bring up Greg Berhalter. Let me ask about Thomas Christensen. How has the Panamanian fan base felt about Thomas throughout World Cup qualifying?
They love him. Panamanians absolutely love Thomas Christensen. They do. Like, he's done tons of commercials here. mainly because Panama plays a different game. Under Julio Cesar de Rivaldez, under Hernan Gomez, we have always been a very defensive team. And we have always been, we kind of go on counterattacks. And that's how Panama was historically, you know. Most of our goals actually came, even though Blas and Tejada were our main goal scorers, last World Cup process, most of our scores came from defenders, from Roman Torres, from Fidel Escobar, not necessarily from our forwards. Christensen has changed the Panamanian style of game. We don't see many long passes. We see how we try to go out from our goalkeeper and, you know, try to like short passes, try to push forward, but in a very orderly fashion. And it's actually quite, it's entertaining to watch Panama play because of this style, European style of game, you know, lots of movements. We call it tiki-taka. I don't know how you call it there. We got the tiki-taka Barcelona style of trying to move forward. And that's mainly why the fan base also really likes how Panama plays, because we weren't accustomed to this style of game.
So let's talk about Sunday night in Orlando. Should Panama win this game, what would it take for them to do it? What would be the game plan that they need to go into that stadium with in order to beat the U.S.?
Zero anxiety. That's mainly what happened to Panama yesterday. Actually, we have something that sometimes we actually play better away games than home games. Like, our the pressure is for the visitor, but the pressure is also for our home team. They want to win, of course, with their people there, but there's a lot of anxiety when they jump on field. I think Panama will have probably the same lineup. The only difference would be that yesterday, Jorge Gutierrez, our left back, made his debut in our national team because Eric Davies, which is our starter, had two yellow cards. So he will probably start on Sunday against the U.S. And I think that would be probably the only change that Panama would make. That's the team that has had us up to this moment with a possible playoff spot. So that's what I expect to see on Sunday. Probably we might see Jose Luis Rodriguez, which is in the second division of Spain. He went out as a starter yesterday. He might not be on field. I didn't think he had the best game. That might be another change, but I would expect us to go out with Rolando Blackburn as a forward and all the other ones.
And whenever you look at this United States team, what are some things about the U.S. that gives Panama some concern going in?
Well, the U.S. has lots of speed, and we've seen it through so many players, how you can just move forward in a blink of an eye. I think that one of the things that, this is going to sound so bad that I say it, but like, for example, me, when I saw like Brendan Aaronson is not going to be there, it's yeah. like, that's like for us that are going to play against the U.S.
I mean, he's
one of the best men that you have.
And Brendan Aaronson, Tim Weah, Weston McKennie, Serginho Dest, they're all going to be out.
Chris Richards, I think,
Chris
is not
Richards
there.
Is out, yes.
Turner, I mean, for the U.S., you've lost so many of your starters during this whole process to the World Cup. But for Panama, the main concern would be, one, we have to be orderly, because even though these five players are not going to be there on Sunday, the U.S. has demonstrated that you can either win a Gold Cup with your A team, and you can win a Nations League with your B team. You know, that's something that we have seen. And that's a big concern for all the countries that are around. To a certain point, I'm actually kind of surprised that the U.S. is not in number one, because when you see the starting lineup of the U.S. players, where they play, how they play individually in their clubs, it's like Berhalter has a Ferrari right now, who's number one right now. Mm-hmm. And mainly speed, I would say, is the main concern for Panama.
It sounds like you just picked up a lot of American fans with that last statement, Nicole. I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people, because that's kind of how a lot of us are feeling right now about World Cup qualifying and how the U.S. has performed thus far. But I want to ask you about CONCACAF, about the region. I know over here in the United States, we always focus so much on the U.S. and Mexico, the two traditional powers in this region. Mm-hmm. I know Canada has come up and just been incredible throughout World Cup qualifying this year. And they're producing some players. I mean, Alphonso Davies is among one of the best left backs in
the
world. Yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely tremendous. Jonathan David is just a fantastic striker. But I'm curious, where does Panama see itself within CONCACAF, and how do they see the region? Is it still Mexico is the giant? Where do you see the U.S. in there, Canada? How do you see CONCACAF?
There's still a lot of respect for the teams, but it has certainly changed in the last years. Probably years before, I would have said that we had never dreamed about having a draw against Mexico here at home, or practically or almost having that game in Azteca. Years before, we had never dreamed of something like that happening. I think that the gap has reduced in CONCACAF. Amongst all the teams, actually, because we saw it yesterday. Honduras, last place, came here, drew with Panama, and now we're out of the playoff spot. So I think that that's actually important. It's good for the region because it gives a little bit of more of competitiveness. Before, it was, just leave the U.S. go, just leave Mexico go, and we'll battle out for that third spot. But, from years back, I think Panama, Costa Rica, Honduras, we all think, hey, we could do this. Soccer has grown in every one of our countries. Our leagues are better. Our leagues are improving. We have many players, just like the U.S., that play internationally. We had never had one player playing in Germany and in first division. We have players in the second division of Spain, in MLS. And that's important. That's something that we've also seen in all other CONCACAF countries. I think that the perception has changed, and I applaud that, because even though economically, if we see every league, like, we can't compare our league to the Mexican league, for example, or we can't compare our league to MLS league economically, but the talent is there. And I think that's very important for what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's interesting in CONCACAF right now because, Honduras had a really strong team and then a lot of their players retired and they're rebuilding. Costa Rica had a really strong team and a lot of their players are still playing, but they're quite old at this point and they're not quite the same players that they used to be. And like we talked about, Panama had a great generation of players and a lot of them have retired. So there's been a big reshuffling, and it's been interesting to see how that's played out with, like, Honduras just being a shell of their former selves, and Costa Rica and Panama kind of still fighting it out, still very much in the mix for a World Cup qualifying spot. But you mentioned Liga MX, you mentioned MLS. I'm curious. I know Panama is quite close to South America, so players, Panamanian soccer players coming up have a lot of options as to where to play their professional soccer. Has MLS become more of an option for the Panamanian players? I know we see a lot of MLS players throughout the Panamanian lineup. How has Panama seen the growth of MLS over the last, let's say, 10 years?
A lot of our major players have played in MLS. When we went to the World Cup with Roman Torres, he was a player at Seattle Sounders. Blas Perez played for FC Dallas. Our captain plays for Nashville. One of our best players, Carraquilla, plays for Houston Dynamo. I think definitely the dream still is going to South America first, if you can go to South America, which has been very good for Panamanians because you get to play in Copa Sudamericana, Libertadores, which are very important tournaments with a very high level. And then the dream is still to get to Europe. You know, the dream is still to get to Europe, to second division. For us, a second division in Spain still is probably a better option than MLS because you can still make that jump to the first division, maybe not in Spain, but we have players in Belgium or in other countries. But MLS, I think that it's important because Panamanian players can find a certain stability. There's financially, the MLS gives players an economic stability that some teams and some clubs in other countries don't provide that. So I think that it will always be an option for Panamanian players to go to the MLS. And we've seen the level. I mean, if you take a look, the U.S. with their MLS players beat Mexico, for example.
Yeah.
Won a Nations League. So I think that speaks very highly to the level of the tournament.
All right, so I think we're getting kind of towards the end of this. I want to put it to you. What do you think is going to happen Sunday night? How do you think this is going to go down?
I was at that game in Orlando 4 years ago, and I remember the feeling of that game. The Outlaws, I think you call them?
The American Outlaws,
American Outlaws on the sideline, and then you have this big flag and the fireworks. And when we saw that like 4 years ago, we were like, oh my gosh, what is going on? This is insane. I expect that to happen again. But I do expect our country to play with a clear mind, remembering that we did get that important 3 points against the US here. For us, a win is the only option. That's the reality. A win in the U.S. is the only option for Panama right now. So,
all right, and I'll finish it off.
I'm sorry, Sam. I hope we win.
Hey, I hope we win. I'll finish it off with a fun one. So I have a tradition that anytime the U.S. plays, I eat food from the country that we're playing on game day. Uh-huh. So what should I eat for Panama?
Okay, and you're going to be in Orlando, so it's going to be pretty tough. Where are you going to find Panamanian food in Orlando? Let's see, something that you might find in Orlando, patacones. Patacones is fried plantain. I think you can get that in Orlando, right? You've had fried plantain before?
Yeah, I have.
That you should get in Orlando. You can get, you will be in Orlando?
Yes.
Okay, you can have fried plantain, chicken soup, or rice with chicken.
Rice with chicken is pretty standard.
Rice with chicken. No, but not like rice and then chicken. No, it's got to be, you know, mixed.
Got it. Okay.
You gotta have that mixed. It's got to have that little yellow, Latino color. Throw in a couple of olives and some corn and some peppers. But I think maybe those three, you can find them in Orlando.
I mean, there's a lot of Latin people in Orlando. I feel like I'll be able to find some rice and chicken somewhere.
Yeah. If not, I'll give you the phone of a cousin who lives there and she'll make some rice and chicken for you.
Just knock on the door. Hello. All right, Nicole, thank you so much for coming on. This has been really awesome learning about Panama. One of the frustrating things for me is that we just don't get a lot of coverage, especially English language coverage, of a lot of the teams in CONCACAF outside of Mexico. So we know about Mexico, we know about Canada, but outside of that, it's hard to learn more about these teams. So I appreciate you coming on and kind of illuminating some of that. Can you tell us where people can find more of you?
Of me?
yeah, drop your your socials, your Twitter, your Instagram.
Twitter or Instagram. I'm Nicole Ferguson, Nicole with two L's. On Twitter and on Instagram, and I put a lot of information on regarding our national teams and other sports, NFL, basketball, et cetera, and on Instagram, and then I always put videos up of what's going on field and everything. So
that's true. You cover the NFL. So what's going to happen with my Saints this year? I know we missed out on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. I know we got to go with it's probably going to be Jameis Winston. But what are you thinking for the Saints of the NFC South this year?
Oh no. And Brady's back. I mean, with Brady retired, you're like, well, there might be a shot. Something might be out there. But then Brady was like, hold my beer. I'll be back one more season. So I don't know, man.
It was a tough afternoon in Louisiana, whenever Tom Brady unretired. There was a lot of us. I remember a few of my friends were just sitting in a room together, just nobody speaking, just like,
right. Oh no! Yeah, I mean that it's a tough division, and you know having Tom. I mean, you're not the only one. I'm pretty sure people back at Green Bay were like, "Oh my god, it's like this guy's back." Like Rodgers is like, "Oh no, where are all my records?" You know. So for any quarterback, having him back is not a good thing. Like the only ones that were really happy were the Bucs fans. But you're better off. You know, I told you I'm a Giants fan. If we win four games this season again, then, you know, at least I'll celebrate four times.
I don't know if I would trade places with you right now. I think
don't. You have like a couple of, you know, good players there where, you know, we live off of history and past good times. You know?
Well, you've had some recent good times more than the Saints, but we got to wrap this up. Yeah. So guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you like, subscribe. If you want to, DM me un comentario en español, and I'll try to reply to you in Spanish. So you help me learn Spanish. It's kind of what we're doing here. Okay. So thank you so much to my tier two subscribers, Manuel Arivetes, Mike Irish. And guys, thank you so much. We're coming to the close of World Cup qualifying. I'm so excited for this period to be over. Hopefully the U.S. qualifies. We take care of business and we can think about the World Cup from here on out. For Nicole, my name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report.